Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ann Vandersteel, and welcome to the Zelenko Report, where truth and God are taking down the tyranny of our time. Today, the demons at Davos. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are being exposed in real time, and it is glorious. And speaking of glory, Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, he is blazing a trail with help from true MAGA patriots. We're going to dish on that. And the New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, she's finally stepping down. Somebody pour some water on the witch. Anyhow, Operation Sandmine, we're going to talk about that. It is underway. What does that mean for the health of your finances? And Japanese independent journalist Masako Gahana, live from Davos with an update. We are live here exclusively on Brighteon.tv with replays every weeknight at 9 p.m. across a host of our channels. More and more affiliates coming on for the Zelenko Report every single day, including Clout Hub, Rumble, Getter, Red Voice Media, Frank Speech, and so much more. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Don't go anywhere.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at sat123.com. That's sat123.com. This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
And welcome back. This is your News Between the Lines, brought to you by Z-Labs, the maker of Z-Stack Life. That's right, Z-Stack, Z-Detox, Z-Flu, and Z-Gummies for kids. Use your promo code FOUNDATION. Keep yourself healthy during the cold and flu season, and get a good night's sleep also using the same promo code FOUNDATION over at MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell, a stellar patriot, as was Dr. Zelenko. Okay, well, Davos is alive and well, and the demons are flitting and flying all over the place, being chased by new media. Can't wait to get into that. But John Kerry, you remember John Kerry? That's right, John Iran-loving Kerry. Well, he calls himself a select group of human beings, talking about saving the planet and how wonderful he is, talking about how almost extraterrestrial it is.
And when you stop and think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we, select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial to think about, quote, saving the planet. If you said that to most people, they think you're just a crazy tree-hugging, lefty, liberal, you know, do-gooder, whatever. And there's no relationship. But really, that's where we are.
Really, that's where you are. Yeah, you are a crazy lefty liberal tree-hugging nutbag trying to suck all the carbon out of the atmosphere and ban nitrogen, things that we need in our air to breathe, you monster. This is what we need for photosynthesis so that we can grow food, you neocon. John Kerry, sit down, shut up. You are accounted for. Well, again, looking at climate change as the theme in Davos, with the very little Greta Thunberg, that's right, being carted away for a second time by police for protesting coal energy. Look at this. What a complete tool she is. She is an absolute tool and a puppet for the globalists at large who are pushing this climate fear, climate change, idea that this is how we're going to save the planet. Well, right here, we have in the great state of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis. Yep, that's right. Governor Ron DeSantis, he is countering the mainstream media narrative. But before we get to that, I want to talk about Alex Borla. He's the CEO that has now learned that independent journalism in new media like Rebel News, and I love this guy, Ezra Levant. If you haven't caught Ezra Levant in action, he is over there pounding Davos and their demons over there with his own mic, along with Avi. They have gotten into Alex Borla, the CEO of Pfizer's face, and they asked him some pretty tough questions. Seemingly, he did not seem to have answers for.
I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
Have a nice day.
I won't have a nice day until I know the answer. Why did you keep it a secret that your vaccine did not stop transmission?
Is it time to apologize to the world, sir? To give refunds back to the countries that poured all their money into your vaccine that doesn't work, your ineffective vaccine?
Yeah, you have a little bit of red.
Are you not ashamed of what you've done in the last couple of years?
Do you have any apologies to the public, sir?
Are you proud of it? You've made millions on the backs of people's entire livelihoods. How does that feel to walk the streets as a millionaire on the backs of the regular person at home in Australia, in England, in Canada?
What do you think about on your yacht, sir? What do you think about on your private jet? Are you worried about product liability? Are you worried about myocarditis?
What about the sudden deaths?
What do you have to say about young men dropping dead of heart attacks every day? Why won't you answer these basic questions?
No apology, sir.
Do you think you should be charged criminally for some of the criminal behavior you've obviously been a part of?
Let me answer that question for you, Albert. Yes, you should be charged criminally for crimes against humanity and for knowingly trying to cover up just how diabolical and how horrific these clot shots have been on humanity. Millions upon millions of people have been adversely affected or killed from your clot shot. And yet we're seeing more and more evidence of the died suddenlies every single day with very, very, very young people. You're driving the average age, the life expectancy down in this country. In fact, the United States life expectancy has decreased 3 years. It's been decreased by 3 years since the clot shots have been pushed on everybody with their so-called mandates. Well, it's about time that citizen journalists like Ezra Levant and Avi Yemeni over there with Rebel News were able to start calling these demons out. But over here, we also have governors like Governor Ron DeSantis, who are not taking any missed opportunities to counter the MSM fake news narrative.
Of what we're doing, I just want to, you know, make it clear to everybody, you know, when we say don't tread on Florida or let us alone, we mean that, including on your gas stoves. You're not taking our gas stoves away from us. That is your choice. And I know many people who cook a lot do not want to part with their gas stoves. And so we're going to stand up for that. You know, they float this to try to do it, and they want to do it. I mean, let's just be honest. And then you start to see the narrative kick into gear, CNN segments saying how it's causing asthma in kids and all this other stuff. And so they start propagating the narrative, but then they got blowback. And so they've kind of had to retreat from it. And now the narrative machine is like, oh, why are these conservatives talking about gas stoves? They're trying to stoke, you know, issues. No, you are trying to do it and we're fighting back. And so, but the bottom line is anything they can get away with.
That's right. Anything they can get away with, Governor Ron DeSantis, that's right. The deep state is going to push to get away with. They are now trying to expedite their plan. We're going to talk to Japanese independent journalist Masako Gahana at the second half of the show. She has been embedded in Davos for the past week, and she typically travels with good friend Michael Yon, who's down in the jungle right now. We hope to catch up with him, if not later this week, early next week, I should say. But she's been embedded, and she is learning just in real time how quickly they're trying to expedite their plan. And I believe the reason they're expediting the plan is because we, the people around the world, are waking up and we're getting savvy to what these demons have planned for us, which is total and complete enslavement and turning all of us into lobotomized mind zombies with these clot shots, therefore hooking us into like the Borg, the Internet of Bodies. But I digress. Well, speaking of somebody who needed to disappear quickly, ding dong, the witch is gone. Zealand totalitarian Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announces that she will be resigning and stepping down on this Sunday after destroying all individual freedoms in her idyllic island country, beautiful New Zealand, with whom I love those people down there. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has announced on Wednesday that she will resign and step down effective immediately this Sunday. Of course, all the leftists are down on their knees, screaming and hollering, but apparently they're trying to hold their tears as she made the announcement Wednesday. She got pretty choked up.
I'm entering now my sixth year in office, and for each of these years, I have given my absolute all. I believe that leading a country is the most privileged job anyone could ever have, but also one of the more challenging. You cannot and should not do it unless you have a full tank, plus a bit in reserve for those unexpected challenges. This summer, I had hoped to find a way to prepare not just for another year, but another term, because that is what this year requires. I have not been able to do that. And so today I'm announcing that I will not be seeking re-election, and that my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February. This has been the most fulfilling 5.5 years of my life, but it has also had its challenges. Amongst an agenda focused on housing, child poverty, and climate change, we encountered a major biosecurity incursion, a domestic terror event, a major natural disaster, a global pandemic, and an economic crisis. The decisions that have had to be made have been continual and they have been weighty. But I'm not leaving because it was hard. Had that been the case, I probably would have departed 2 months into the job. I am leaving because with such a privileged role comes responsibility. The responsibility to know when you are the right person to lead and also when you are not. I know what this job takes, and I know that I no longer have enough in the tank to do it justice. It's that simple. But I absolutely believe and know there are others around me who do.
Well, Jacinda, you did say some things that I actually agree with here. First of all, you have a responsibility to know when you don't have enough in the tank. And you also understand that perhaps you're not the best person for the job. What is very alarming is that you talk about biosecurity incursions, global pandemics, and economic crises as if you and your globalist demons had absolutely nothing to do with any of that. No, let's be honest, you had everything to do with planning it, locking your incredibly lovely people down in New Zealand up, masking them up, forcing the mandate of the jab on these people. And now you want to walk away as your country is on fire. That's right. You don't have anything left in the tank because you don't have enough water to put out the flames that you have started. And yes, there's other people willing to step in and take the job because they will be placed there by the same demons at the World Economic Forum. What a sham. What an absolute sham. Well, again, coming back here to the United States, Governor Ron DeSantis talks about requiring us to stand up against major institutions in our society who together we are working towards to impose a biomedical security state. So again, Ron DeSantis is talking a very big game here on how we the people need to stand up and fight back by those that are trying to enslave us.
But I'll tell you, being the free state of Florida did not happen by accident, because it required us over these last few years to stand against major institutions in our society, the bureaucracy, the medical establishment, legacy media, and even the President of the United States. Who together were working to impose a biomedical security state on society. They sought to marginalize people who declined COVID jabs by using things like vaccine passports. They sought to prevent people from being able to earn a living if they declined the jab through the Biden employer mandate. They sought to deny children an education if their parents did not want their kids to get mRNA shots. They sought to discriminate against Americans based on vax status by treating them different in their own workplaces. They sought to impose masking requirements on everyone from spectators at sporting events to young school children. And they sought to silence medical practitioners who followed the evidence and backed the science over the narrative. And the fact of the matter is, they had a lot of momentum. They brought a lot of power to these fights. And they would have won, except for the fact Florida said no.
That's right. Florida did say no. And in fact, we had yesterday Maureen Van Heck with Children's Health Defense of Florida talking about State Bill 222, State Bill 222, which in fact, when you take a look at this bill, it has yet to be titled, but it's going to work its way through. This is what Governor Ron DeSantis was talking about just now. This is an act relating to protection of medical freedom, amending subsection 381.003, prohibiting the Department of Health from requiring enrollment in the state's immunization registry or otherwise requiring persons to submit to immunization tracking, prohibiting the department from including a person's immunization records in any interstate or federal immunization tracking system, or otherwise giving any entity access to a person's immunization records without first obtaining written informed consent from the person or person's parent or guardian as applicable, amending prohibiting businesses and governmental entities from requiring individuals to provide proof of vaccination or post-infection recovery from any disease to gain access, entry upon or service from such entities, prohibiting educational institutions from requiring students or residents to provide proof of vaccination of or post-infection recovery from any disease for attendance or enrollment to gain access to, entry upon, or service from any entities. So as you can see here, there's an incredible website, healthfreedomflorida.com. And if you go to this website, you can gain access to the details of the bill, which, as you can see right here on your screen, is exactly the summary language for SB 222. And then as you roll through the website, you can actually see just how important the work that these people have been doing, not only at CHD Florida, but vaxbully.com, at healthfreedomflorida.com. They give you the opportunity to find your legislator. You can look them up and you can let them know that you support SB 222 so that this can never happen to any Floridian again. And let's make Florida the leader, the state, the country leader right now, and lead people out of this vaccine nightmare, out of this mandate nightmare, out of this government overreach nightmare where we have totalitarian government bureaucrats working with agencies, working with big pharmaceutical. It's called fascism, those public-private partnerships. That's the real terminology. It's not the nice sounding language of a public-private partnership. It's true fascism. Let's work together to get SB 222 passed here in the state of Florida and signed into legislation by Governor Ron DeSantis so that we can never witness what we've witnessed the past 2.5, going on 3 years now. This is an utter and complete insanity that we're even still talking about any of this. But as you can see, thanks to the demons at Davos, the World Economic Forum, they have every intention of keeping the party going because this is, in fact, how they maintain power and control. Okay, something that came up recently and that has been brought to my attention, General Michael Flynn dropped this in a chat earlier today, is that former FBI Director Ted Gunderson, who seemingly disappeared off the face of the earth and all of his information that he had published was wiped, has resurfaced with this video talking about child trafficking and General Flynn is involved in America's Future as their chairman, and they have a big push to defend and protect our children.
It is estimated 2,500 children are kidnapped and murdered in this country every year. Americans, for the most part, are oblivious to what's really going on behind the scenes. I retired from the FBI March 1979. At that time, I was in charge of the FBI Los Angeles Division. I had more than 700 personnel under my command. And in that particular instance, they were taking children out of foster homes, orphanages, Boys Town. These are 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old children before they enter kindergarten. In addition, the children claimed that they were flown into the mountains where they were involved with adults in robes, black robes, chanting candles. They talked about the brown babies who were cut up, actually sacrificed, and flying them to Washington, D.C. for sex orgies with prominent people, including congressmen, senators, and certain people in the White House. And the reason the congressmen and the senators vote for these stupid bills is because many of them have been set up and framed through sex and drugs.
Set up and framed through sex and drugs. Again, this is all by design. The same people in Davos that are controlling what you and I are doing are also controlling what is happening in Congress. Folks, I got heavily attacked by David Brock at Media Matters back in 2017 when I said it's going to come out in the wash that about 85% of all the upper echelon of world government is involved in child sex trafficking and pedophilia. I've also reported that our U.S. embassies, American Citizen Services Unit worldwide, is the underground railroad for trafficking children. Stay tuned, folks. This stuff is coming out in real time, and I'm glad there's great people like General Flynn that are stepping into the arena to defend and protect our children. It's an honor to know him, and I appreciate the work that he's doing. Now, let's shift the focus here to our financial situation. I've been reporting on this for quite some time, but today, Mike Adams, Natural News, put this out. It's important that we understand what Operation Sandman is. It is now... And Saudi Arabia, that's right, has announced the end of dollar dominance in global oil trade. And of course, yes, we're going to see the dominoes falling here in the United States. The empire, Babylon, as it will, Operation Sandman activated, with the Saudi Minister of Finance, Mohammed Al-Jadan, telling Bloomberg during a TV interview at the World Economic Forum in Davos that the Saudis will gladly accept all currencies for settling oil transactions, when previously it was just the United States dollar that they transacted in. The foundational pillar of the United States global currency dominance and its ability to export inflation to the world has been based on the so-called petrodollar status, in which the U.S. agreed to protect Saudi Arabia, the kingdom, in other words, in exchange for the Saudis demanding U.S. dollars for all oil transaction settlements. This agreement has been in place since the Bretton Woods Conference in 1944, and basically, ladies and gentlemen, it has carried our dollar until today. But guess what? That arrangement is coming to an end now. Also, very few people realize that over 100 nations are actually prepared to renounce the petrodollar as the dominant currency for oil settlements. Instead, many nations are going to switch to using the Chinese yuan or the digital yuan or the new BRICS commodities-backed reserve currencies. That's about to be launched by China, Russia, India, and other participating nations. The dominoes have been set into motion, and as this plays out, all world nations will be dumping greenback fiat currency that they no longer need. That means we're going to have a rapid devaluation in the purchasing power of the dollar because we're going to have so many more greenies floating around, useless. Protect your assets now. It's becoming a matter of national emergency and urgency for Americans to become informed to this. And anyone holding dollars should expect a rapid shift in excess dollars into hard assets. Get your gold and silver with Kirk Elliott, folks. This is where I'm taking those worthless dollars and buying real solid currency. Go to KirkElliottPhD.com/Ann and protect your family's wealth. Okay, coming up after the break, Misaka Ganaha, encounters the elusive global tyrant Klaus Schwab in Davos. Stick with us. We'll be right back. More with Misako.
Chairman Schwab, I'm from Japan. May I ask
from?
You for? I'm from Japan.
Yeah.
And may I ask you for a comment?
No, we're on our way to the next thing. We're a bit late.
I can just walk with you and ask questions.
I think we're gonna rush actually. But thank you. Thanks very much.
Which
media are you with?
I am an independent journalist from Japan.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. Yes. I have to ask. Thank you.
But I want to ask just one more one question.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Where are you
guys? I can just walk and ask
you.
Yeah, we're not.
Thank you. No, sorry, we're in a big rush. We've got so many things tonight.
But for us, but it's very precious moment. I know.
Yeah. I can. He's got so many people stopping if he were to stop for everything, we win. That's the unfortunate. So I'm very sorry, but thank you.
But
thank you for trying.
Do you know the
thank
voice
you.
That
thank
worry about globalism?
Thank you.
There are many
thank
concerns.
You. Nice evening. Thank you. Thank you.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivvy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivvy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
And make sure to watch Bright Dion TV with the great Mike Adams. Nowhere do you get better news, more truth, and our path to justice. Bright Dion's the best. Go check it out.
Hi, I'm Ann Vandersteel with the Zelenko Report, where you can find truth in God taking down the tyranny of our time. Join me here on brightdion.tv every day, weekdays, 1 p.m. Eastern. Look forward to delivering the truth to you.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at brighteonstore.com.
Welcome back to the second half here at the Zelenko Report. Our next guest is an intrepid journalist out of Japan. She's an independent journalist, by the way, with a monster following. She has her own YouTube channel, her own website, GanahaMasako.com. She's a good friend of our friend, Michael Yan, who's down in the Darien Gap, usually traveling with him. I had the opportunity to meet Masako and Michael in January of 21, right after the J6 ordeal. She's over in Davos right now, shaking things up, and I got a video going viral we just played right before the commercial break. Want to welcome to the Zelenko Report for the first time, Masako. It's great to have you here.
I'm honored. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you are standing in front of the hotel where it all went down with Klaus Schwab earlier, and that tweet has gone viral. That video is playing all over the place. I'm finding it on multiple platforms. You know, it seems to me, Masako, that somebody once said, these people won't be able to walk down the streets because the likes of us will be putting mics in their faces. Are you starting to see that in real time now?
Yes. I think they are realizing that we are standing up. That's why I think as soon as I said I'm independent, he turned his back on me.
God forbid somebody thinks freely and doesn't carry the mainstream media water for big pharma, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. As you can see, I'm in front of the hotel. I encountered Chairman Klaus Schwab. The hotel name is Central Sport Hotel. And you can see the entrance over there. That's where I encountered him and asked for an interview.
He ran away from you like a frightened dog, didn't he?
Actually, I was surprised because I thought he looked much, much bigger figure on screen. But because he was acting like this, so I was kind of very surprised and realized that he knows that there are resistance.
He knows that there's resistance for us, right? Well, earlier today, Ezra Levant, another hero that I can't wait to shake the hand of with Rebel News, said Klaus Schwab, an unelected billionaire who's been running the World Economic Forum since the beginning, is unfireable. And he presumes that Klaus Schwab probably owns the World Economic Forum. But he says, what do you do when he says he wants to master the future and he wants to penetrate the cabinets of the world? Are you hearing rhetoric and language from the people speaking at the World Economic Forum, Masako, that would lead you to believe they have full intention of penetrating every single government to control them as their own puppets?
Yes. Our Japanese, some of the officials, ministers, I tried to interview one prime minister of economic. That's why I was actually here. But then they were like all happy tweeting about I'm going to Davos, I'm exciting, that kind of atmosphere. And so they are also afraid of independent journalists like me, because I saw so all the officials, they drive right in front of the entrance, just like you see right now. So there was this like 10 or 20 meters from the door to door. And I was standing, and then this minister, he was like, it was like a short time running. He was like, he was so quick. He was like a Olympic runner. He tried to avoid me. Yes, yeah, so... So they are, they realize that they are being puppet, but they are not thinking to correct themselves, and they are trying to get away with it. That's what I felt by standing here and trying to interview Japanese figures.
You know, you did an interview recently on Human Events with Jap Posobiec, and you talked about the CCP's influence in Japan. And sadly, you lost Donald Trump, President Trump's good friend, Shinzo Abe. He was murdered, gunned down in broad daylight. Can you tie any pieces together that would suggest that people that were under the influence of the World Economic Forum or any of their entities might have been behind the murder and assassination of Shinzo Abe?
I don't know about this clearly, because current situation in Japan, police and the government is trying to stop those people who are trying to seek the truth, meaning the autopsy announced by doctor and the announcement from police, they clearly contradict each other. But they are going to just let it go. Like police, they do not want to investigate anymore. So at this point, it's very difficult to say things exactly with proof. But what I can say is that it's not just one random young man who tried to assassinate him. That's very clear. And then one thing, maybe this may surprise your audience too, because our former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, he was the hero to me also, as a person who tried to restore Japan. But I am sad to say that at some point I started to realize, is he really, was he really trying to protect Japan? Meaning, he was addressing speeches for World Economic Forum mentioning Great Reset. So I am at this point trying to figure out who really he was. Was he really trying to protect Japan? Or was he in a difficult situation where he needs to protect Japan from China, asking for American political figures' help in terms of military, so he cannot go full conservative because he has to deal with this kind of situation, or maybe he was a globalist. I don't know. That's why I am so into this World Economic Forum. Who is working really for Japan and who is not?
You know, you raise a really interesting point there, Masako, because, you know, the waters are so murky. They're so muddy right now, trying to really understand who is on what team. And it is getting more and more difficult because of that example you just gave. Was he really trying to stand up for the people of Japan? Was he trying to defend the Japanese from the incursion of the CCP? Or was he really a globalist that has been sort of a puppet to lull people in Japan into trusting him and what he stands for while he was really being manipulated and working for the globalist New World Order agenda? So I can appreciate where you're coming from that, because I know people here in the United States are starting to get concerned about their favorite leader, their favorite president, because he hasn't spoken out against the vaccine yet. He hasn't come to the world and said, Fauci lied, and I now sadly know lots of people died. And that's in fact what we know happened. We know he's had advisors that were giving him bad advice. But at some point, you can't ignore the fact that everybody's talking about it. Right, Masako?
Yes. So it's really difficult situation. And that's the turning point for me, actually, to see what's happening. I'm from Okinawa, by the way. So we have huge information operation by China to take over our land. That's why I started this activity. And I was focusing on the local situation in Okinawa. But then the things that, so many things contradicted, for example, why Japanese government being the conservative government, not clearly trying to protect Japan from CCP, there are so many things that didn't make sense. And I come to realize, wait a minute, maybe our Japanese government is not really for Japan. Who is in charge of my country? That's why, oh, there is this organization called World Economic Forum, and the people all over the world kind of like worship Klaus Schwab. So that's why that led me here.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about Russia, because of course here in the United States, Misako, the establishment and the media have always tried to paint Russia as the boogeyman, as the bad guy. And of course, we couldn't find $10 billion to finish the wall here to protect us from this illegal immigration onslaught that our friend Michael Yan is down in the Darien Gap showing people and investigating and providing more evidence of who's behind all of it. We couldn't find $10 billion, but we've sent over $100 billion to Ukraine. And Congress and Nancy Pelosi were waving the yellow and blue Ukrainian flag, bringing President Zelensky in to speak to our Congress as if they report to him, because frankly, they do. They're taking money from a Ukraine money laundering operation with the help of FTX. But Russia has been removed from the conversation at the World Economic Forum. They're uninvited. The Western sanctions have prevented them from even attending, any of their officials or oligarchs from attending the World Economic Forum. So what is it like right now for the World Economic Forum and for their worldview on a world without Russia?
So the people who participate in this conference, they are good at just saying talking points. So at this point, I'm very tired of hearing all the same talking points. So many people mention about, oh, like Russia is doing horrible thing, we need to stop the war, but then we have to come together to confront this crisis against Russia, that kind of atmosphere. So they are all for Ukraine, and there is this one pavilion, huge one, and this pavilion is for Ukraine. And on the side of the building, there is this huge Ukraine flag, and many people are visiting. And this is the only pavilion that has a security in front of the building. So I see people taking photos behind this building. And so they are all for this globalist propaganda.
And that's what it is. You're absolutely right. It's globalist propaganda. Elon Musk, who is also noticeably not in attendance right now, questioned why Davos is even a thing. And he jokingly compared the annual meeting of the global elite to an online forum at 4chan. Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
Yes. I think this World Economic Forum, it's a circus. And I just said circus, but I should correct it. It's a circus, the word mentioned by local people. I started to interview local people here because I saw a very interesting sign saying, wow, what this is how corruption look like. That sign was on the third floor of a house that is located on a hill from which you would have great view of this conference. Because if you're on the same level, on the ground level, you cannot see, it's all covered up. So we cannot see how it looks like. But so the local people clearly oppose this, and many people leave during this week because all the transportation is become inconvenient because of the road blockage. And local people are kind of tired of this corruption. And many local people say, oh, they're talking about environment, but how come they drive and cause this traffic jam and flying jet helicopters?
It's so true. They really do live life largely, and they expect their serfs, you and me, to live life in as minimally as possible, you know, driving electric cars, which contain batteries that do far more damage to the environment than a combustion engine ever could. even 100 combustion engines ever could. It's the hypocrisy is so rich. We're all choking on it. Apparently, they enjoy it. They make it a mainstay main meal there. The World Economic Forum apparently has now hired unvaccinated pilots to fly their oligarch class into Davos, Switzerland for their annual meeting. And they're saying it's for safety reasons. How does that sit with you, Misako, hearing that?
This information a little bit different from the fact. So I asked about this information to the Freedom Flyers. And then I got confirmed that rich people ask for unvaxxed pilot, but including this organization, the pilot did not specifically hired by a World Economic Forum. So there is, of course, a clear tendency and the fact, but not the organization by itself. But yes, that's the situation. And of course, I interviewed one driver, and then he agreed to me to interview without his face showing. He said, of course, I cannot drive an electric car because it's dangerous. So he was honest, and I love people who talk from their bottom of heart. And one interesting interview I did, so this is like a lot of hypocrisy. And when I went to a cafeteria, where many participants have lunch and dinner. I was sitting by myself, and then one man asked me to sit with me because there are no empty seats. So he was wearing Wall Street Journal. So I was thinking, oh, maybe it's a good idea to interview him. And I started to have conversation. And he said, he started to eventually criticize Ray. And he finally took Wall Street Journal shirt and said, here, from now on, this is my private opinion. And he started to say, like, this is all like hypocrisy, you know, that kind of thing. And then according to him, he said, during this week, many restaurants have special menu, ref menu, and they price the double. So it's really interesting.
Well, you know, I guess people look at it as an opportunity to be capitalist pigs, right? I mean, let's just use their language. But in fact, that is in fact what they are. That this whole public-private partnership is corporate fascism, where you've got government and corporations, big corporations, working together to essentially enrich themselves at the expense of all of us. And you know, one of the things that they've been very well organized, and now that we know, they will tell us what they're going to do, which is part of the satanic ritual, by the way, is you've got to tell your victims what you intend to do. And we've seen it through tabletop exercises, particularly the COVID one. But now we're starting to hear about this poly crisis and tabletop exercises around multiple crises, such as attacks on our energy grid, or just in general cyber attacks. What are you hearing that they're talking about? Is there a whisper campaign right now about the next crisis that we should be facing and bracing for impact?
This tabletop exercise. Actually, I have not got any chance to ask this question, so this is a homework for me, sorry. But I ask many participants, what do you concern the most? What is the topic you concern the most? And many, almost 90% say sustainability, like climate change. So I think they are gonna go for climate ideology to restrict our daily life. That's, I see the tendency, and that's where we are headed to, I think.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that has been their theme they've used for a long time. Meanwhile, Al Gore flies around in a private jet, lives in a multi-thousand square foot mansion in Tennessee, which has a carbon footprint, 10 times the size of the average American. But he doesn't see anything wrong with that. Well, they want to build rat trap boxes for us to live in, these little mini houses, and stuff us all in there. This is I guess, Misaka, that what I can say to you is kudos to you for being a strong voice out there and such a sweet, you know, you sound so sweet, but man, you're tough and you're fierce and you get those questions right in front of these people. It's absolutely brilliant. So you had a chance to run into Klaus Schwab, which is why you're standing in front of this hotel. What did you hope to learn from him if he actually engaged in conversation with you?
Yes. So I am not, it's my homework to be more aggressive, to ask tough questions. But I was kind of like hoping what he really thinks, because he wrote what he is gonna say. So I wanted to see if he really thinks like that. You know, I wanted to see how he thinks and talks in person. Yes, but I could see the arrogance. That was what I learned.
Well, in fact, that's what you got up close and personal and have now brushed shoulders with the king of arrogance, Klaus Schwab, the chairman of the World Economic Forum. Misaka Ganaha, you have a website. At, you want to show tell everybody where they can follow you and what social media platforms that you're on. We appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you very much. I have my own website, masakoganaha.com, but it's only in Japanese. So my English source is going to be on Twitter, and then I am hoping to use more Getter.
Hoping to use more Getter. Okay, so we'll look for you on both of those platforms and make sure that we follow you there for the latest breaking news coming from you. And it's a pleasure to get to know you. I'm so glad I got to meet you several years ago in Washington, D.C. I look forward to seeing you again.
I am a huge fan of you, so we support you from Japan, and I would like to have opportunity to interview you.
It would be my honor. It would be my honor. Thank you so much. Enjoy yourself, and keep going after him, Misako. You're doing great.
Thank you very much.
All right. Wow, what a treat to have Misako Ganaha on today. I am just so honored that she made the time with her very busy schedule, and it's late there in Davos right now. Hopefully she's going to get some dinner. Perhaps I think she's going to meet up with the Rebel News folks, which is tremendous. Want to remind everybody, we have the Zelenko Solutions Summit panel, as well as the Zelenko Solutions Summit and Legacy Dinner, which will be coming up March 11th this spring in Miami at the Miami Trump Doral Hotel. Incredible panels with incredible speakers. And in fact, one of my favorite panels, of course, is the American Dissident, where yours truly will be moderating that panel. And we'll be talking about how we can exit this crazy system in which we find ourselves. What are the challenges of being a dissident right now? And of course, critical thinking and skepticism being moderated by our board member, Brent Hamachek, which is going to be another very important panel. Mel Kay will be there. Charlie Kirk is our keynote speaker. We're honoring Steve Bannon. We're honoring Catherine Austin Fitz. And of course, Dr. Judy Mikowitz, who's done an amazing job of exposing Anthony Fauci. This is going to be an amazing evening with your favorite influencers there that are just regular folks. That term influencer makes me nauseated, but that's the word that they use. So be it. It is what it is. But we will be there, and we're looking forward to seeing all of you. So please, if you have a chance, go by our website at zfreedomfoundation.org and get your tickets. On that note, tomorrow we will continue with our final edition, Chapter 8, in the series on 9/11. So tune back in here to Bright Eon TV. Have a good day.